There is one additional intimation, because I'm going to hand over to Rob for intimations, and that is to say that there is amazing amounts of soup, apparently, at the Masonic Lodge. I was told there's lots, so please come for soup after the service at the War Memorial. Rob.
Thank you, Norman. Let's hope it goes without a hitch from here on in. Normally, as Norman has said, we usually use the screens to give information on what's coming up in our intimations. But what we're doing today is going back to reverting what we used to do before COVID, was I'll say to you, the most of the intimations are on the sheets that you've been given, and I'll just only highlight one or two items. So, welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or visitor. Visitors may say you wish to sign our visitor's book, and we are commemorating Remembrance Day in church and afterwards at the War Memorial. Please take care and observe instructions from our stewards and the police officers assisting when attending at the War Memorial. Christmas newsletter. We are planning a Christmas newsletter to go to every house in the parish. This is our chance to tell the community what is happening in and around the church. We need content for the newsletter about our groups and activities. Articles should be sent to derek@kirnahillchurch.org.uk by this Tuesday, the 15th November, please. And finally, after Norman's mentioned about the Masonic Hall, there's also coffee, sandwiches and soup. And finally, there are still tickets available for the guests, the number of poppies, and it's 50 pence a turn. And all donations are to go to Poppy Scotland. Now, the sheets and that are out in the vestibule if you wish to assist. Thank you very much.
And further to that intimation, does not mean that you're sitting counting poppies during the sermon. And I say that a little bit tongue-in-cheek, because I grew up in a modern church and the walls were brick-faced. And while the minister was preaching, I used to count the bricks. And of course, it's really difficult because your eyes go and you'll start again. So maybe I wasn't the best at listening to what the minister said. And maybe it's my punishment I'm now a minister. Anyway, this is an important service. And regardless of all the things that are happening, it is important that we are here. It's great to see you folks in uniform. You're looking exceptionally smart. I'm glad that you're here, and it is good to remember. So we begin our service by singing the hymn 159, Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided. And that's my manse, by the way.
Thank you.
Please be seated. We dedicate our offering. Almighty God, receive from our hands our gifts, the gifts that we offer to your glory. Bless us in our giving and our gifts in their use. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. George is leading us in prayer this morning, so I'll ask George to come forward.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Let us approach God in prayer. Let us pray. Gather us into your presence, God of peace. We trust that your vision for the world, the great creation of your imagination, entrusted to us as a place for our flourishing, is still there behind all the challenges of our lives. We come today remembering that even in the darkest of days, your flame of hope and new life flickers, drawing us on to find the good and to illuminate the world with your gospel of love. Help us to find you in the smallest of things and the most ordinary of experiences, for you are the great source of our being and the power that sustains us through your Holy Spirit. When we search hard for you, we may miss your presence in the everyday. So help us look out for you in the face of a friend and stranger, in the wonder and beauty of our world, in the creativity of artist and scientist. Lord of the ages, you are our hope in times of trouble and our consolation in grief. Bring us a spirit of renewal so that your people may honour those who have given their lives in service to their country in conflict. May their service kindle in us the desire for peace and unity, which is your hope for all people. And now together, we pray to you with the words taught to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen.
Our readings for today come from the prophet Micah in the Old Testament. That's our first reading. And our second reading comes from the book of James in the New Testament. And our readers this morning come from guiding and scouting.
In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established. As the highest of the mountains, it will be exalted above the hills, and peoples will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his path." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Everyone will sit under their own vine and under their own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken. All the nations may walk in the name of their gods, but we will walk in the name of the Lord, our God, forever and ever.
Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbour bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness.
Thank you very much. Very well read, both of you. We're going to sing the hymn In Times of Danger and of Doubt. It is around 100 years ago that war memorials were erected up and down the country. This happened throughout the 1920s. The war memorial that you saw on screen down at Limekilns is quite unusual in that it was erected in 1921, which makes it one of the earliest. Our war memorial was erected in 1922 and was dedicated in December of that year, and I did go and check, and it was the 16th of December 1922 that our war memorial was dedicated. It was a year when many war memorials were put up. Up until a few years ago, I had always assumed that war memorials had probably appeared about 1919, in the immediate aftermath of the First World War. But it took several years, because these were erected by communities or installed in churches by congregations. Another surprise for me when I was doing some research on war memorials and on the cenotaph in London is that there was opposition to them being erected. And often that opposition came from those who had served through the First World War. There were a number of people who wanted no reminder of what they had suffered through those years. And I kind of understand that. I grew up with stories of the two great wars. My grandfather told me about the First World War because he served in the trenches. He was a piper with the Seaforth Highlanders. My parents told me of life during the Second World War. I had an uncle in Bomber Command, and no surprise, although he survived, he spent half of the war as a prisoner of war. I had an uncle who served in the Far East, in the jungles, and that terrible conflict that took place so far away. I had an uncle who was involved with the process that produced radar in this country. So I got the stories. But I was different. What was different was that I belonged to the first generation of the 20th century that did not go to war. Or rather, we didn't go to a world war. I have no experience of war, nor was I in the services. National service had long gone by the time I was in my late teens. But I read books and I watched films, and the games that we played in playgrounds were very often about wartime. But these things did not give a picture of the reality of war. Looking back and thinking about it, maybe it was the silences and the things that were not said that hinted at the cost of war for my grandparents and their generation and my parents and their generation. There were things they did not want to remember. There were memories that they did not want to speak of. Earlier this week, on Tuesday evening, there was a documentary on television telling the story of Mariupol. This was done using footage filmed by those who were there, and the commentary was from those who had lived through the destruction of their city. The horror of war was laid bare. This was uncomfortable viewing at every level. And through it, I was very conscious that this was suffering beyond my understanding. I have no experience of such brutality in my life. I don't know what loss like that feels like. What was presented was a reminder of what war is and the cost of war in terms of human life. This was a real reminder of how important today is. Every year that passes, I find that Remembrance Sunday is even more important than previous years. We need to be reminded of the cost of war if we are to value peace. The situation in Ukraine has reminded us of how easily evil can prosper and recreate that which we hoped we had left behind last century, something that we had consigned to the past. Some of what President Putin and the Russian authorities have done has echoes of the years running up to 1914 and 1939. I don't know. I'm not sure. And no one can be sure of how near we have been to what might be a Third World War. And who knows what that man and that authority might do in the future. We cannot but be aware that what is happening in Ukraine has global implications. It is already affecting our world. We feel it in energy and food prices. We see it in the worsening famine conditions of poorer nations that were dependent upon grain imports. We are being warned that diverting attention from our need to care for the planet has consequences. That war may be being fought in one country in the world, but as it has implications for us all at this moment. And if the leaders of the nations are not careful, it might have devastating consequences for our generation. And as I was writing about that, I thought about all those other conflicts across our planet. And we should remember those too. There are too many places on earth where people look at the other as the enemy. Too many places where one people or one regime wants to dominate another by force. But in all of this, there are those who work as peacemakers. There are those who do not give up, no matter what the odds, no matter the difficulty or the impossibility. They are the peacemakers of this world. And in that, each one of us here has a part to play. We may think that as individuals, we can do very little. But the truth is that everything we do or say has an effect. So either our words and actions are making the world a better place, or they're making the world worse. And there is no in between. Silence and inaction are almost as bad as wrong words and wrong actions. In our Bible readings today, we had the great hope for humanity being declared. These words were written about 2,700 years ago, and they are still the great hope of humanity, that one day we will beat our swords into plowshares, one day there will be peace, and by the grace of God, there will be a day. But it's not yet. And so the words of the letter of James, where there is a clear distinction between those who work for evil and those who work for good. And the highest praise, if you were listening carefully, was for the peacemaker. So as we gather at the war memorial today, it is good and right that we remember in thought and prayer those whose sacrifice has brought us the peace that we enjoy today in this country. We must never forget our blessings, because those blessings came at great cost. And those names that you see carved in stone are people just like us who gave and paid the ultimate price so that we can enjoy life now. And so we remember our blessings. As we gather to remember, it is also a call for us to value peace and to be peacemakers where we can. And it is a time for thinking about our world today and also the world that we want for our future. What we do today is very important, and I am glad that you are here and that you will be part of that. And thinking about our world, we're now going to pray for the world. George.
Our prayers this morning are taken from the Church of Scotland website. Let us pray for the world and others. Let us pray. God of peace, we come this day in solemn remembrance to the courage, self-sacrifice, and devotion to duty of those who have given themselves in service to others. We remember those who lost their lives and the grieving families and friends they left behind. We also remember those who came home but who lost something of themselves in the field of battle, those who lost limb or reason or sense of self. We pray that your comfort will be known by all who have seen the realities and the dangers of war, and ease the pain of those who grieve, help those whose health and body or mind have been damaged. We seek your blessing upon members of our armed forces and upon their families. Grant to them safety in the fulfillment of their duties. Defend them as they face the dangers of many kinds, and grant to them wisdom and courage as they work for peace and justice in our lifetime. We now remember those families torn apart by war in the world today. For those forced to leave their homes and seek safety and refuge elsewhere. For those whose homes have been destroyed or who cannot return due to dangers caused by conflict. We pray for lands where neighbours have become enemies, where brothers have picked up weapons against each other, and for them we seek your reconciliation and peace. We give thanks for the times and places where we can see seeds of peace beginning to grow. We pray for those who have never known war, and we plead that this will never change. Grant a love of peace to your young people, that they will make choices that lead to harmony. We now pray for King Charles and for all his ministers in the national and regional governments. Grant to them wisdom in the fulfillment of their duties, that they will seek to make our world a place of safety and prosperity for all. Grant that your church will speak out with passion for the sake of those who are voiceless. Save us from the silence of complacency and inspire us by your Holy Spirit to prepare the way of the Lord today and always. And now, in this time of silence, we bring to you these things that weigh heavily upon our hearts, trusting in the mercy of your Holy Spirit. We pray these things in the name of Christ. Amen.
We sing hymn number 511, Your Hand, O God, Has Guided.
Thank you.
national anthem, God Save the King. Go in peace, to love and to serve the Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you, and remain with you always.